God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a roaring gong or a clanging cymbal. The more excellent way Paul was talking about at the end of chapter 11 is presented a little bit like an off-speed pitch in baseball. It isn't what the reader might have been expecting. Instead of another amazing spiritual gift, Paul wants us to know that what we have to have is love. Most readers are familiar, sometimes very familiar, with this chapter, but not in the context of Paul's warning about spiritual gifts. We hear this chapter used and used again for weddings, especially because a certain slice of the verses makes a good sketch of the qualities of love. But let's take Paul's words in their context. Paul attacks the sin of pride over speaking in tongues by elevating the possibilities of the gift with something that's never even mentioned anyplace else in Scripture, the tongues of angels. It's best to understand this as a heightened form of tongues or languages, along the same lines as if one might say, if you can move mountains or if you can move planets from here to there. That is to say, if you can do amazing things nobody ever even dreamed of. Whatever the great and superlative thing you can do, whatever the ability you have, but don't have love, then what good is such a gift? What benefit to the church and to the kingdom of God is your ability if you can't use it with love? You are missing the point of God's gift. Love is essential to fulfilling God's purpose in the world. Without love, the works that I do have no value to God. It is true that He can put even a terrible sin to some use for His plan for all mankind, but those wicked things are not valued by Him. If a man spits in my cup because he despises me, and his action causes me to see that there is also a deadly insect in my cup that might have done me harm, I don't need to thank or praise that man for his wicked act. Therefore, a spiritual gift, as glorious as it might be, that is done without love, is a sinful act. As Gerhard says, the very love from which the good works of the godly proceed is so intrinsic to good works that it is said, not undeservedly, to enter the substance of good works. For whatever happens without love, however great the work may be, should not be judged to be a truly good work, as the Apostle expressly teaches in 1 Corinthians 13, if then good works are not worthy of eternal as regards their substance, surely also with respect to love will they not be worthy of it. The Greek word Paul uses for love here and throughout the chapter is agape, which rhymes with the top A, or a hot day. It's three syllables. This common New Testament word, agape, was not at all common in secular Greek writings of Paul's time or in the years before. In fact, even in the Gospels, it's not very common outside of really John chapters 14 to 17. John says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and show myself to him. I can only find it outside of John's Gospel in the Gospels in Matthew 24:12 and Luke 11:42. It seems that Paul and John in particular, Peter also, they were looking for a more rare Greek word for love apart from, you know, like desire or crave and so on, to show a different kind of love. Even the nobler Greek word philanthropia, which is in our English word philanthropy, is not really one's love for your fellow man. The way the Greeks used it, it was just the justice to which a man is entitled. But agape, then in the New Testament, agape is the love of God for his people, a love that we don't merit, or the love of a Christian for other people. This is the love the Father has lavished on us, 1 John 3:1. The love that brought Jesus down to lay down his life for us, 1 John 3:16. It is the love that we have for all the saints, that is, all other Christians, Philemon 1:5. This, then, is the love God wants us to show as we obey the second table of the law, A love that is active in decisions and choices to behave toward my neighbor in a self-giving way, in a forgiving way, in a serving way. Love always has an object, and our love is toward God and toward our neighbor. And whoever fears the Lord will steer his friendships the right way, for as a man goes, so shall his neighbor go also. What does Paul mean about the gong and the cymbal? Well, he means that a godly gift of noise, for what is speaking in tongues to the believer's ear, but so much meaningless noise, thrust without love upon a group meeting for worship, who will stop everything for a moment, like the resonating bong of a gong or the tinny crash of cymbals, until the noise fades away. But there will be nothing useful afterwards. It would not be so if there was someone to interpret, as Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 14. It would not be so if the one who wanted to speak in tongues would also wait his turn and not interrupt someone else's speaking or singing. In fact, Paul will say later on that if there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Otherwise, the ears will be deafened for a while to anything else, but the mind will not be instructed. The heart will not be refreshed. This verse preaches the law to us by exposing sinful arrogance and pride. It preaches the gospel to us by displaying God's love, without which there is nothing but noise and chaos. God is good, Psalm 73 says, even though my feet had almost slipped. If we have ever envied the arrogant, let us look to the only source of true boasting, which is Christ, our risen Lord. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.